This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's very special edition of Exploring the Word. Of course, every day you hear Bible teaching for this 30-minute broadcast from Fairview Baptist Church, a.k.a. Liberty Church of Edmond, as Pastor Dan Fisher and I co-pastor this organization. And hopefully, and I know we hear such good feedback, we thank you for being a part of our listening audience, and we thank you for the great cards and letters of support that we get from so many of you, wishing that you had Bible teaching like this in your area of the state. But it's not just talking about your faith. As Christians, we're supposed to be living out our faith. And Jesus isn't just the Lord of Sunday mornings. He's supposed to be the Lord of every facet of our lives, including the fact that God himself is who established this realm called civil government. And we in the United States of America have the blessings of liberty, where we have a constitution that is supposed to limit the power of the civil governing authority. We have our Declaration of Independence, which states transcendent truths upon which our country was established. And then we also have the freedom to vote. Hopefully our votes are counted properly and registered properly. Therefore, it's important that we as Christ followers vote in a way that would be God-honoring. Friday, we talked about some of the corruption, the deep state in Oklahoma politics. We identified some of those behind it. I encourage you to go back and listen to Friday's broadcast in case you failed to hear us mention the name Fout Holland and what a plague he is on the health of liberty in the state of Oklahoma. But today we're going to talk about some of the individual races themselves, as tomorrow is Election Day. So Christian, make sure that you go out and vote tomorrow and vote in a way that would honor the Lord. So as our special guest today, of course, my co-pastor, dear friend, Dan Fisher, and then our very special guest, one of the members of our congregation, but a longtime friend, far longer than he's been a member of our church, Charlie Meadows, who in my opinion is as knowledgeable about Oklahoma politics as any man on earth. He knows the history, he knows the skeletons in the closet, and quite frankly, he has played a big part in educating you
and me in our growth.
In viewing politics. So, Charlie, first of all, just pick out, say hi to the audience, and let's pick out a race. Let's get started.
Okay, really good to be with you guys again, and let's just get started with the state treasurer. That'll be the first thing on your ballot. We talked a little bit about it. It's between Todd Russ and Clark Jolly.
Who to vote for?
Todd Russ is the person
Todd Russ,
we should pick.
Yeah, without doubt.
Todd is actually an ordained minister. He served with Dan.
Yep.
He's a godly man. He's an honest man. We all have our problems with Clark Jolly, and there's really not a comparison here. This is one that we need to support Todd Russ
in. So in state treasurer, it's not just having the ability, but it's the character issue. And as
that is what differentiates between the two.
Russ, hands out, all three of us? Three for three?
Oh, yeah.
Todd,
sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Dan Fisher, Charlie Meadows, Paul Blair, all three Todd Russ supporters in tomorrow's primary runoff. All right, next.
The next one is the superintendent of public instruction. And this, in my opinion, is the most important race in the runoffs, a statewide race that is non-federal. That is between April Grace, who is currently the superintendent of the Shawnee Schools, and Ryan Walters. And this is a Ryan Walters pick here. I just want to say that the teachers' unions have spent about $3 million trying to keep Ryan Walters from being elected. Two things that he's really about. He's about accountability for all the dollars that go into our government schools. And one of the things that the teachers' unions and some of the teachers don't want is accountability. The other thing, he's really about school choice. Empowering parents to direct the educational choice of their own children. And that's a no-no for the teachers.
They want the monopoly.
Yes.
They want to control.
Yeah. Now, I have heard Ryan is a history teacher from McAllister that moved up here, and Governor Stitt appointed him as the Secretary of Education. Before that occurred, I've actually heard Ryan teach history. And he teaches it accurately. It's not revisionist history that he teaches. He's done a fantastic job. They homeschool their four children. His oldest daughter can recite the Bill of Rights and give you what the information behind those are. She's an amazing young lady. Anyway, Ryan would make probably the best We've really only had one Republican state superintendent. That was Janet Parisi. Now, Joy Hoffmeister was registered as a Republican, and the teachers' unions over in the Tulsa area encouraged her to run. So she had an R by her name, but philosophically, she was never a Republican.
And now she's a Democrat.
And now she's a Democrat running for governor.
So that's her true color.
But if Ryan wins, he will have a leg up on Janet Parisi, who wanted accountability and wanted school choice. That was what she was about. Yeah. Unfortunately, she got caught up in the Common Core abandoned it, but it was too late for her.
Damage had been done.
One of the things that I would say is normally whoever the teachers' union supports, I vote for the other one.
Yes.
And also, whoever these super PACs, whatever these super PACs are saying on television commercials, it's like the fact checkers on Twitter. It's usually the exact opposite of what these dark money ads are telling you. All right, Charlie, thank you for that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the next one on your ballot will be for Commissioner of Labor. And we've got Leslie Osborne. She won that race against Kathy Costello 4 years ago. Leslie has been a terrible labor commissioner. She's got lots of money, and Sean Roberts is challenging her. Well, there's just recently been radio, TV commercials and newscast about Sean Roberts supposedly abusing his first wife, and that's probably 20 years ago. And so I just called Sean up, and I wanted to get the real scoop on this, just like I called Todd Russ up. And this is what I had already come up with. I wanted to verify it with Sean. Number one, his first wife has said recently that Sean is a fine man. They work really well with the kids and things like that. His current wife of about 16, 18 years has been really hurt by these allegations and stuff like this that came up all of a sudden at the last minute. He stood for election many times. Why didn't any of this ever come up before? So that's just what it is. I'm going to be voting for Sean Roberts in this. I don't think Sean can win this, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to vote for him because I believe that he would be a far better labor commissioner.
I do too.
Than Leslie Osborne.
And the sad thing is, Charlie, is generally these elections are won by the people that have the most money. Because they can overwhelm you with ads, with lies, with name recognition. You'll get mailers. There's TV commercials. And sadly, although we should embrace and cherish the liberty that we have and the ability that we have, unlike the majority of human history, we can actually go and choose those who are supposed to serve us in office. Sadly, most of us are too busy or simply deluded by the con that's out there. So I hope our listening audience is really, I hope you are grateful for the time we're taking today to share some insight from behind the scenes.
Another thing too, Paul, is that the power of incumbency. People see a name that they recognize. They may not know what that person stands for or what kind of job they have done, but the incumbent has incredible advantages in running. And this is one of those races where if the people would really take a look, Sean could do much, much better, but he's up against incumbency and all of that, and so it's very difficult.
Well, we've got a lot of people in the Oklahoma City listening audience that are listening to this broadcast. Today is Monday. Tomorrow's Election Day, so you can tell your friends and you can get out to vote. If just the churches would show up and go vote and vote biblical values,
we could turn the thing around.
Every election tomorrow without question. All right, Charlie, go ahead.
The next one is for Corporation Commissioner, and I'm supporting Todd Thompson. Kim David was a powerful senator, chose not to run her last 2 years, so she could run in this particular race right now. I will just say this, that Todd has received about 1% of all the funds that he's raised from PACs. 28% is what Kim David has received, and virtually all of that money, not all, but most of it has come from the oil and gas industry. Now, I'm going to say this. That's the biggest industry in the state of Oklahoma. We need to do all we can to allow them to make an honest dollar there. But I tell you what, when you have that much money going into your campaign from an industry, I'm not for sure you can be trusted to regulate that industry. And that's why I'm going with Todd Thompson on this.
When you get 28% of your support from an industry, what is the difference between you being in office or being a lobbyist for that industry?
Yeah, right.
Sometimes it can get a little fuzzy.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely.
Well, probably the most well-known race that we're going to talk about today, and one I'm interested to get your insight in. Of course, there's a couple of federal races.
Yeah.
But, of course, we had a slew of individuals, many fine candidates, running for the open seat as Senator Inhofe is finally retiring after 400 years in office. He's 812 years old yesterday. He's decided it's time to come home.
His middle name is Methuselah.
Yeah, Methuselah, that's right. He didn't nail the ark together, but he handed the nails to Noah when they
our listeners know this is jest.
We were supporters of Senator Inhofe, so anyway, we're just having some good humor there. But T.W. Shannon, who has a reputation as being was a very conservative Speaker of the House. Dan actually served with him.
I did.
I like T.W. I've got some concerns about his close affiliation with the tribes, as heavy as he is. And then Marquain Mullen, who's made a certain name for himself really over the last just 2 years or so, being a congressman from the northeastern part of the state. Tell us the background about both these men and why. In fact, I don't even know who you're going to support, but who and why.
Well, I am going to vote for Marquain Mullen, even though, and this is the reason I'm not ready to say that anyone that has Fount Holland as a consultant should be voted against. He does have Fount. He's always had
Marquain Mullen has Fount Holland?
Yes, he does. And I'll tell you, probably when this is over with, I would say Fount will walk away with at least $250,000 in his pocket from running just this race.
Just that one.
By himself.
Grief.
So, but here's the thing. I love T.W. T.W. was the best Speaker of the House, most conservative Speaker that we've ever had. And I would prefer to vote for him, but I can't for this one very important reason. I'm going to be very blunt here. I've been studying the tribal issues for almost 25 years. And in all of my research and study and observations here, I have come to believe that the tribes declared war upon the state of Oklahoma several years ago for the control of the state of Oklahoma.
Right.
The reality of it is T.W. Shannon is in favor of the McGirt decision, which was a huge leap forward on behalf of the tribes. Not only was T.W. in favor, or is he in favor of it, he was one of the complainants in that case before the state Supreme Court. And it comes down to this, and I've had conversations with T.W. in the past. Congress can fix this problem with the tribes.
Mm-hmm.
If T.W. Shannon is elected, T.W. Shannon will never work to fix this problem. On these issues, T.W. Shannon's loyalty will be to the tribes first and the state of Oklahoma second. And that's the reason I can't vote for him. I wish I could because I love the man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a problem with so many of the divided loyalties in the state. I mean, if the state, it's like the tide. A rising tide lifts all boats.
Right.
We need Oklahoma. We're all Oklahomans. We need to be strong. We need to be unified. We need to be healthy as a state. You can't sacrifice the state for the teachers' union, or you can't sacrifice the state for the tribes. And I'm a little bit concerned. It seems that when it's convenient to be a tribal citizen, then you're a tribal citizen. When it's convenient to be an Oklahoma citizen, then you're an Oklahoma citizen. Where does your loyalty lie? And it's got to be to the state of Oklahoma in this case. So,
yeah, I agree. Even though the history of the way the tribes were treated is deplorable, and most of us regret mm-hmm. what happened, that happened many, many years ago. And somewhere along the way, we have to say, hey,
yeah,
that's history.
It's history now.
We're in the present, and this is Oklahoma that we're dealing with.
Let me throw something in on
please
that.
Please do.
Because the tribes were not allowed to have reservations in Oklahoma. It was their punishment because the five civilized tribes all confederated with South during the Civil War.
They did.
And so that was their punishment. So what happened, it actually was the best thing could have ever happened to the tribes, because what I don't remember that federal law that got passed. I can't remember the name of it. You might help me here, Paul.
But it'll come to me. And as soon as we're done with the show, Charlie, we'll just...
Anyway, once the that law was passed,
the Homestead
after Act, a certain period of time, the tribal members, they all had 160 acres. And they were all allowed after a certain number of
years.
Do
with what they pleased.
To do with. And so many of them sold part or all of their land to non-tribal Indian members. That's how you got so many non-tribal members living all over what is today your tribal areas. And as a result, tribal members became our neighbors, our friends, or we went to church with them, and they prospered more in Oklahoma than any place in the nation.
Yes.
If you want to see where tribal members are in trouble, go to your states like South Dakota,
North Dakota, Montana,
Arizona, and places like that where they have reservations. That's where you have very horrible
alcoholism,
drugs, short lifespan, unemployment, and everything else. And that's why the McGirt decision is so damaging. It reestablishes
It's not tribal land. It was individually owned.
The Dawes Act. The Dawes Act.
They had to own it. They had to keep it for 20 years. Then they could sell it.
Yeah.
And much of that land was been bought and sold and bought and sold and owned by other people.
How could you go back and retrace all of that and somehow?
You can't
undo it.
Right now, the tribes with all their money are empowering tribal members and tribes to buy land back from non-tribal members, and you're going to see in another 20 or 30 years, there's not going to be very many non-tribal people living in those
lands. There won't be in Oklahoma. There'll
not
be
in Oklahoma.
Different, yeah.
So anyway, that's the reason I've got to go with Mark Wayne Mullen.
Okay.
Next one is only if you live in the second congressional district. That is a race between Joshua Crean and Avery Fricks. Now, that was a very close race in the primary, a large group. This is to replace Mark Wayne Mullen. This is his old house
seat. Because he's running for the Senate now.
Yes, he's running for the Senate now. I'm going to tell you, if Joshua Crean gets elected, he will be a big improvement over Mark Wayne Mullen.
Yes, he will.
He will be a huge one.
I served in the legislature with Joshua.
Top three senators in the 8 years that he was there. He's an absolutely fantastic senator.
Yes, he is.
Avery Fricks, on the other hand, unfortunately, he was elected in 2016, I believe. He's just 28 years old. Articulate young fella. And his lifetime score on the conservative index of the Oklahoma Constitution, I believe, is a 58. I don't have it with me right now. He's a rhino. Mm-hmm. But worse than that, he is the guy that authored legislation to unravel virtually all of the good work on the 7 Oklahoma State retirement funds and to unravel all the good work that Randy McDaniel was able to do while he was in the legislature.
I was there with Randy.
So he's not just a rhino. He is horrible.
He's done
and
damage.
I'm going to tell you, this is the most important federal race, I believe, that there
in
the state of Oklahoma. Yeah. So if you live in that second district, you need to go out and vote for Josh Brekeen.
Well, Josh, when we were doing the Protect Life and Marriage effort a few years ago, back in 16, trying to end abortion in the state, Josh and Nathan Dom were our two strongest friends on the Senate side.
Yep,
they were
right.
warriors. Many a late night meeting in their offices, strategizing.
Right.
I couldn't endorse an individual more highly than I do Josh Brekeen.
Yes, sir.
Of course, we supported Nathan in the primary for that run for Senate because he's a quality guy.
Oh, but Nathan's wonderful.
As far as congressional district two, it's Josh Brekeen without question.
Totally.
So let me go to some of these states.
Yeah, some of the smaller. In fact, my state house race is Carmen.
Yes.
Breyer, and I want you to talk about that a little bit.
I am, but let me go through the Senate races here first. Okay.
Let's do that.
We'll do it very quick. Senate District 2, Claremore area, Jaron Jackson is the most important legislative race in the state runoff this year. Jaron Jackson is a dynamic speaker, fearless, courageous, powerful communicator, and I'm going to tell you, there's no one that would be elected that would rather go after the corruption that we've just been talking about than this guy right here. There's some good people that have chosen wrong in this, but Jaron Jackson, his opponent, is a Fount Holland opponent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to skip SD4 and go to SD 26, Senate District 26. This is basically Kingfisher, Clinton, Weatherford, Anadarko, Watonga. It is one of the most spread out, convoluted things. the current state senator incumbent is Darcy Jeck. Darcy has never been friendly to any conservative group. That's probably because Fount Holland is his consultant. Fount doesn't like for his people to go before public groups or anything like that. He'd rather do his dirty work with mail and TV and stuff like that, radio and all. But anyway, in this primary race, Darcy Jeck only got 42% of the vote. So his opponent and for the runoff is Brady Butler. And any time an incumbent can't get 50% or more, he's in trouble. You're in trouble at 48%.
Yes.
If you're 42,
you're
so
in real
what
trouble.
Happens is if we can bring this one in, all of a sudden we have made a dramatic change right there. And we're moving toward getting better leadership.
And let me
in
tell you, I know Brady Butler, and he is a great guy.
Okay.
Great guy. So he's wonderful.
The last Senate race will be Senate District 28. That's the one I live in.
Okay.
And it's come down to two people, a very good and godly man lives north of Chandler named Jeff McComas. And Jeff has had quite a little education in all this. He's been thinking about doing this for 3 years now, and God just won't release his heart from it, so he decided to jump in. On the other hand, his opponent, Grant Green, did not want to run. He was approached by Fount Holland and others of his ilk to run because they were looking for a certain character in a person that they wanted to run.
Or lack thereof.
He told them no. They went out. They tried to find someone else. They couldn't. They come back to him again and beg him to have another meeting with him. He calls Jeff McComas up and says, I'm going to meet with him again. I don't want to run. My wife doesn't want me to run. My family doesn't want to run. But I promised him I'd meet with him, and I'll call and let you know. But I'm 95% sure I'm not going to run. Calls him up. He said, I'm in. He said, well, why did you decide to change your mind? He said, well, they answered questions for me. Mm-hmm. He said, well, what kind of questions? He said, well, where am I going to get the money to run for this? And he said, well, you don't have to worry about the money. We'll come up with the money. And he said, well, I don't know about this senatorial stuff. In other words, he says,
I don't want to have to get in there
and represent my constituents.
Right.
He said, don't worry about that. We'll take care
of
that.
We'll tell you what to do.
We'll tell you when to vote and how to vote if you want us to.
Oh, yes,
and
they will.
So you've got ultimately here, this is one of the most stark differences. Now, this is a man I hope to get to your next Patriot Pastor.
Boot camp's coming up.
But anyway, this is a very anywhere in Seminole County, anywhere in Lincoln County, a little bit of Pottawatomie County, Luther and Arcadia of Oklahoma County, and then if you live east of I-35, south of 105, or north of Waterloo, you're in that district.
Gotcha.
In Oklahoma. And
Charlie, you got 3 minutes. You got to cover these six.
Let's just go to Carmen Grider. Carmen Grider is a very godly woman. She has been knocking doors for a year ago, January. Absolutely refuses to take any PAC funds at all. She was hit with $45,000 worth of negative ads just 3-4 days before the primary election.
Wow.
And it really did hurt her. And she's in the runoff against a good guy, in my opinion, who made a big mistake by hiring Fount Holland to be his consultant.
So once again, my theory is proving to be correct.
Yes. Uh-huh. But just today, I got two more flyers Same group, Carmen Grider, just another radical rhino.
Wow.
And, you know, it's unbelievable. Have you ever seen something that folds out this big?
Oh, my goodness. It's a poster.
Yeah.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
There you go.
And she's a cult member and all these other kinds of things. And tries to link her with Biden and things like
and
that.
And that's,
you know,
true.
None of that's true. There's not 1 ounce of truth in this right here, and I expect more of these over the next 2 or 3 days in the mail.
So this is House District 31.
House District 31.
Carmen Grider, my House District. Okay.
Yes, right.
Quickly, and then I'm going to run down these as we close. Yeah. Lori Bannister Scott-S, what do you have to say about that, Rich?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I've known Scott for a long time, and I've got my problems with Scott. But I will say this. He calls himself a constitutionalist, one. Number two, he is totally against the homosexual agenda, okay? She, on TV, says she is in favor of the homosexual agenda. So I'm going with Scott S.
That settles it. So I'm Scott S. HD 87. Yeah.
Here's another one. Clay Stairs up in House District 66. This is Sand Springs area up in Osage County. I actually moderated a forum for the four candidates. Clay Stairs is an excellent guy. His opponent is a Fount Holland candidate. They have done 22 mail-outs.
Wow.
The amount of money in that is incredible.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah.
And he deceived everybody, not Clay Stairs, but the opponent, which can't leave his name right now, his opponent deceived everybody the night that I was there asking them, do you have an opponent? And if so, what is his name? And he said Camp. And I didn't know that was Fount's new name at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
another Fount Holland guy.
Yeah, another
Fount
Holland.
Let me quickly give a summary here for those of you listening. First of all, Charlie, thank you so much for your expertise.
Yeah, thank you, Charlie.
We're just going to go down Charlie's picks real briefly in this last 30 seconds. State Treasurer, Todd Russ. Superintendent of Public Education, Ryan Walters. Labor Commissioner, Sean Roberts. Corporation Commissioner,
Todd Thompson.
United States Senate, Mark Wayne Mullen was Charlie's pick, although he's represented by Fount Holland. That's a question mark. And then Jeff McComas for State Senate District 28. Carmen Grider for State Rep District 31. Jaron Jackson, Senate District 2. Keith Barenberg, Senate District 4. Brady Butler, Senate District 26. Jeff McComas, Senate District 28. Carlisa Rogers, House District 13. Cody Maynard, House District 21. Anita Raglan, House District 36. Clay Stairs, House District 66. And Scott Esk, House District 87.
Yeah.
We have exhausted our time. Yeah. Folks, I hope that you enjoyed this background. Tomorrow is Election Day. Make sure and go vote. If you have any questions, you can call us up at the church office. We can hook you up with how to get a copy of Charlie's Picks. But make sure you go vote and go vote biblical values. Tomorrow, we'll be back on the air with our normal daily Bible teaching. So for Charlie Meadows, Dan Fisher, and Paul Blair, thank you for joining us for today's special edition of Exploring the Word. And until next time, God bless you.